This morning we'll be speaking on the Sabbath, and you know, obviously the Sabbath is very important to all of us, or we wouldn't be here today. But what I want us to do today is I want us to dig into what does the Bible say about the Sabbath. My studies, I didn't really want to incorporate a lot of opinion into my study. I wanted to leave it to Scripture to interpret Scripture, if that makes sense. So we're going to be doing a lot of digging into the word studies, and we're going to be really looking at what does the Bible say about the Sabbath? How does God view the Sabbath? Is it something that was specifically just for Israel, or is it something that is so near and dear to his heart that he expects all of us to view it the same way as he does? So we're going to be looking at it this morning. We're going to be digging into it. So let's not waste any time. Let's dig into the word. So first of all, Sabbath. What does the word Sabbath mean? It comes from the Hebrew verb Shabbat, which means literally to cease. That's what Shabbat or Shabbat means, is to cease from an activity or work in order to rest. That's the goal, is to cease from an activity in order to rest. So, you know, if we try to come up with an exhaustive list of what to do and what not to do on the Sabbath, then we're going to be creating fences. But why don't we just look at the Scripture and see, what does God say about the Sabbath? What does he tell us to do? How does he tell us to cease? So in my studies, I just wanted to share these quotes with you that I found concerning the Sabbath. And literally, all I did was just go to Google and type in, should we keep the Sabbath? And these were the first three results that I found. Number one, it says, and this is a quote, Sabbath keeping is a matter of spiritual freedom, not a command from God. Sabbath keeping is an issue on which God's word instructs us not to judge one another. Sabbath keeping is a matter about which each Christian needs to be fully convinced in his or her own mind. So in other words, this particular place is saying, Sabbath keeping is up to you, be decided in your own mind. And what they're doing is grabbing that from Romans 14:5, which is totally taken completely out of context. Romans 14:5 says nothing about the Sabbath. And then they're taking it from Colossians 2:16 and 17, which says, let no one judge you in a Sabbath, which we will be reading that later. Here's another quote. Christians are not required to observe a weekly Sabbath. Christians are under the law of Christ, which does not include keeping the Sabbath. Okay, did anyone catch anything there? The law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? It's God's law. It's Torah. So if God's Torah says, keep the Sabbath, what should we do? Keep the Sabbath. So when I read that, I thought, that doesn't even hold water.
Messiah is God. Exactly.
Messiah is God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. All right, here's the third quote. The church today is not under God's covenant with Israel as epitomized by the Ten Commandments, but under the New Covenant. Okay, what is the New Covenant? The New Covenant is the renewed covenant, which is the Torah being written upon our hearts. It didn't say anything about in that process of being written on our hearts that anything would be taken out of the Torah. So can you see when I was reading these how I was thinking in my mind, these do not even hold up. They're contradicting themselves with the words that they're using. So that's why it's so important that we take the Bible and read what does God actually say instead of cherry picking verses out of context and saying, what do we want it to say? So Galatians 3:29 says that if we are saved, who are we? We are the spiritual seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. So if we're heirs according to the promise, what promise are we an heir to? It's not a completely different promise. We didn't start a new tree. We were grafted into an already existing tree. We didn't replace anybody. We are grafted into Israel. So if we're grafted into Israel, then what does that mean? We are held to the same standard as Israel. I want us to read a few verses before we get started, and I promise I will get off this soapbox in just a moment. Proverbs 14:12, let's turn there. What I'm doing now, I just want to lay a foundation before we get started. We all know that God changes, but I want us to, or God doesn't change, I'm sorry. We all know that God does not change, but people change. And people tend to teach things that try to prove that God does change. And in the process, if you know your scriptures, you can see that they're just proving that God doesn't change. So Proverbs 14:12, it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." So when we think that we're fully convinced in our mind to decide what did God say about this topic, and we think it seems right, what does it say in Scripture? The end of that way is death. So we're not, it's not our place to decide what seems right to us that should replace what God has set up from the beginning. And we're going to be going all the way back to the beginning and looking at what does Scripture say about the Sabbath. Proverbs 21:2. Proverbs 21:2 says, "Every way of a man is right in whose eyes? In his own eyes. But the Lord weighs the heart." So you might do what you think is right in your own eyes, but who judges whether you are doing the right thing? God does. Let's turn back to Judges chapter 17. And right now we're just looking at, should we be fully convinced in our own mind to pick a day to be our Sabbath? That's the big overarching theme right now I'm wanting to get across. Should we decide in our own mind what day should we observe the Sabbath? Judges 17, starting at verse 5, we're going to read verses 5 and 6. It says, "The man Micah had a shrine and made an ephod and household idols. And he consecrated one of his sons, and who became his priest. In those days," this is the key verse right here, "in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes." So whenever you see that in Scripture, and you see it at the very end of Judges 2, so if you flip over to the last, very last part of Judges, chapter 21, verse 25, it ends the very same way. It says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." So what do you think the point of this is? If people do what's right in their own eyes, are they doing what God wants them to do? The answer to that, of course, is no, because if we're doing what's right in our own eyes, think back to what we read in Proverbs. If we do what's right in our own eyes, what's the end of that particular way? Death. If we do what's right in our own eyes. Because if we do what is right in our own eyes, who are we following? Are we following our fleshly nature, or are we following God? That's what we got to think about. And pertaining to the Sabbath, we have to look at, what does Scripture say? What does the Bible say about the Sabbath? Is it something that we should just be fully convinced in our own mind, just pick a day, any day? Or is there a reason why God wants us to pick, to observe the day He told us to observe? Because He wouldn't tell us to do something if there wasn't a reason to do it. He wouldn't tell us, do this on this particular day if there wasn't a reason. So let's go all the way back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 2. So what we're going to look at is we're going to look at three aspects of the Sabbath. Number one, we're going to look at how important is the Sabbath to God. And I don't have to stretch that question with you guys. You guys know how important the Sabbath is to God, but I want you to have a deeper understanding of why is the Sabbath so important to God. And we're going to be really digging into the Hebrew in this section of the study, because it's hard to tell emotion sometimes through just the English words, like the word love, okay? In English, the word love can mean lots of different things. But if you look at it through the Hebrew, it portrays an action. It has an emotion to it. And so all the verbs in Hebrew have certain aspects that go with them. And it's hard to pick that up in the English. Because sometimes you can read a word and it can just mean just saying it in general. But you can also read the same word and it can be somebody pounding the podium speaking with strong emotion. And you can't pick that up from the English. So that's why it's so important to go back and look at the original language and look at how was God putting this point across. So number one, we're going to look at how important is the Sabbath to God. Number two, we're going to look at what happened when people did or did not keep the Sabbath. And you guys can probably guess what happened when they didn't keep the Sabbath. God didn't say, oh, it's okay. So we're going to be reading about what happened when people did not keep the Sabbath. And then number three, you know, I know how people think. If it's not in the New Testament, then it doesn't hold water. It doesn't mean a thing. So we are going to be looking at the Sabbath in the New Testament. That's the third thing we're going to be looking at. So we're going to be looking at three aspects of the Sabbath. And I can promise you, in the New Testament, nothing changes. It's still exactly the way that it was intended to be from the beginning. So are you ready to get started?
Absolutely.
All right, let's go. Genesis chapter 2. So the first thing we're going to look at is, where is the Sabbath established? Because if we want to understand what's happening in Scripture, we got to go all the way back to the beginning. Because God set it up from the beginning to be the pattern for us. He worked 6 days. He rested on the Sabbath. So let's look at, on the seventh, I mean. Let's look at Genesis chapter 2. Starting at verse 2. So we're looking for the first mention of the Sabbath in Scripture. Verse 2 says, "And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." All right? You don't directly see the word Sabbath mentioned there, but where do you see it? You see it in the verb rested. And he rested, verse 2, and he rested on the Sabbath day. That is the verb Shabbat. So on the seventh day, what did he do? He Shabbated. He rested on the seventh day. Is it because God was so tired from all the work that he had done that he needed to rest? No. Isaiah 40 verse 28 says that the Lord neither faints nor is weary. So it's not because God was so tired that he needed a break. We need a break because we're still in our physical bodies. We need rest because we are in our physical bodies. But there's more to it than physical rest that God wanted to establish from the beginning. God works in patterns, in case if you guys have noticed that. God works in patterns. He worked 6 days. He rested on the seventh. There's got to be a reason why he did that. So verse 3, because in it he rested. There's the word, the verb Shabbat. So it appears twice in those two verses. So literally it says that, well, not literally, but in my twisted English, it says he Shabbated on those days. So he Shabbated. He rested from his work. Because from that point, he set up a pattern for mankind. Not because he was tired, but because he was setting up a pattern. And we're going to be looking deeper into what that pattern was as we go along.
You said that was Isaiah 40:28?
Isaiah 40:28.
28, thank you.
Do we need to look at that scripture?
No.
Okay. All right, let's turn to Exodus 16. Exodus 16. Now, we're not going to be looking at every single instance of the Sabbath or the word Sabbath in the scriptures, because we would be here for days and days and days and days and days. But I want us to look at how important is this to God. All right, Exodus 16. So Exodus 16 is before Exodus 20, which is the giving of the commandments at Mount Sinai. So in Exodus 16, starting at verse 23. Starting at verse 23, it says, "And he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning." So they laid it all up, or they laid it up until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." So I want to stop here for just a moment. If you were counting, how many times did you hear the phrase Sabbath, or the Sabbath, or Sabbath to the Lord? How many times did you catch that phrase? So we see tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. A Sabbath to the Lord, verse 25, verse 26, the Sabbath. So at least four times in those three or four verses. So before Sinai, before the giving of the commandments, the Sabbath was already set up in place. And the Sabbath in verse 23, there's two big important points I want to show you here. Number one, the Sabbath is mentioned in verse 23 as, number one, a Sabbath rest. That word in Hebrew is Shabbaton. And that word Shabbaton literally means an observance of a Sabbath. It can be the seventh day Sabbath. It can be the Shemitah. It can be the any different Sabbath rest that's mentioned in Scripture, because there's more than just the weekly Sabbath. You have the high Sabbaths. You have the seven-year Sabbath. You have all those different Sabbaths that are mentioned in Scripture. And they're mentioned as Shabbatons, or Sabbath rest. And that's really important, and a really important point we're going to be getting to here in just in a minute. So it's mentioned, number one, as a Sabbath rest, a Shabbaton. Number two, it's mentioned as a holy Sabbath. So the Sabbath is mentioned as a Sabbath rest and a holy Sabbath. So literally, if you look at it back from the Hebrew into English, it would literally say a Sabbath of holiness to the Lord or for the Lord. So if it's a Sabbath of holiness to the Lord, that should be ringing, that should be like throwing up red flags. That should be really just resounding to us. If it's a Sabbath to the Lord, I mean, that should make us think maybe we shouldn't be picking a day. Maybe we shouldn't be saying, and I'm not saying anybody in here does that, but I'm saying in general, we shouldn't be saying that the Sabbath is something that we should decide, because God gets to decide when is this observed. Because like I said, God is setting up a pattern. God has a reason for doing what he's doing. So number one, it's mentioned as a Sabbath rest. And number two, it's mentioned as a holy Sabbath. Skip down to verse 27. Let's read back down to verse 30. And you will continue to hear that word Sabbath being used. It says, "Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws, my Torah?'" So the people tried to go out on the seventh day and look for manna. What did they find? None. Was God like, "Okay, that's all right. That's cool, guys. That's cool." No, he said, "How long are you going to refuse to keep my commandments?" So he was trying to set that up from the beginning in order to get them to realize how important it was. Yes, ma'am.
And they haven't been given yet. Somewhere along the way, they must have heard him.
Isn't that funny? Because he's holding them accountable for something that many people say it wasn't given until Exodus 20. I mean, that to me, this it just comes from looking at Scripture and questioning, does this line up with what I've been taught my whole life? Because if you go back through Scripture, go back to Genesis. How did Noah know the difference between clean and unclean?
Go back 1,000 years. How did Cain, when Cain killed Abel, God said, your sin. How can you have sin if there's nothing to gauge it against?
Exactly. And what is sin?
It's lawlessness.
It's transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4. So we've got to think about, you know, logically, you have to think, if God said, you know, if you don't do the right thing to Cain, sin lies at the door. Well, what is sin? How did Cain even know what sin was? And even in that exchange, how did Abel know what was an acceptable sacrifice?
Maybe God had to give the commandments at Sinai because of the mixed multitude who didn't already know.
Yeah. I mean, it was that public proclamation at Sinai, but there again, you know, if God doesn't change, then that means that his Torah has always been. Because what does John 1:1 say? In the beginning was the Word. So it's always been. It's been from the beginning. So like Mulaney said, you know, if the commandments were only given at Sinai, then how did they know what the commandments and the laws were? Verse 29, it says, see, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. There's that verb, Shabbat. They rested on the seventh day. So they Shabbated on the seventh day. Because God was trying to teach them, which we're going to find out here in a little bit, what was the reason he was being so adamant that they rest on the Sabbath? What was the picture that he was trying to paint? Let's go to Exodus 20. Oh, there's some good stuff in here too. Good stuff. Exodus 20. Starting at verse 8, we're going to read verses 8 through 11. And I'm just going to stop from time to time, so just hang on for the ride. All right, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. All right, I'm going to stop right there. Remember a Sabbath day. The Sabbath day. So if you look at that in the Hebrew, it's HaShabbat. Ha, those of you who work with Hebrew, that word, ha, or that part of the word, ha, indicates that that word is definite. It is the Sabbath day, not a Sabbath day. So the Lord said, remember the Sabbath day. Not pick a Sabbath day and observe it. Remember the Sabbath day. And even that word remember, that word remembering is like a retelling. So that doesn't mean just casually remember it. It means remember it, do it, tell others about it. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. All right? From English, it's hard to tell the emotion. Like I said earlier about certain words in Scripture, it's hard to tell the emotion that God is trying to get across. So when God says keep it holy, this is from the verb kadash. And those of you who are familiar with Hebrew, you know that there are different verb forms. And one of the verb forms is called piel. Piel indicates strong emotion. So this word, keep it holy, kadosh, this is a piel form of the word holy. So it's not like God is saying, oh, just if you feel like it, just keep it holy. It's almost as if God is pounding the table saying, keep it holy. You better keep it holy. So he's putting forth very, very strong emotion in the use of these words here. He's not just casually giving it to them. Because, okay, now think about it. If God was just leisurely saying this, then why after the Ten Commandments did the people say, don't speak to us anymore? So God had to have been speaking with strong emotion for the people to say, tell Moses, whatever you tell him, just don't speak to us. So it would have had to have been delivered with very, very strong emotion. So that word, that phrase, keep it holy, it comes from the verb kadash. And that verb kadash means to hallow, to consecrate, to set apart as sacred. So how did God expect us to view His Sabbath as something sacred, as something set apart, not as something that we can say, God, I know you told us this, but I'm going to do this instead. Is that viewing something as something holy, as set apart? If we say, I don't care what you say, God, I'm going to do this instead. We got to be careful what we try to pick and choose from Scripture. If God is speaking with this strong of an emotion, then He really means it. Verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord, Sabbath of the Lord your God. All right, I'm going to stop there for just a moment. In Hebrew, this, the structure of the grammar in this phrase where it says the Sabbath of the Lord your God, the structure of the Hebrew grammar does not allow you to say a Sabbath of the Lord your God. It does not, like you can't even do it because the grammar will not allow you to do it. Because the verb or the word Shabbat is followed by to the Lord, okay? Which would mean that the word Shabbat would have to be definite. So you can't say a Sabbath of the Lord your God. You have to say, according to the grammar, the Sabbath of the Lord your God. You can't do it any other way. So for it to be a Sabbath of the Lord your God, I want you to just take a quick peek back to verse 7 and notice what follows verse 7. It says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. What is the very next thing that's mentioned? The Sabbath. So if we try to say a Sabbath of the Lord, what are we doing to the Lord's name? We are taking his name in vain. We are making it common. We're making it just an ordinary name. And what did he tell us in no uncertain terms in verse 7? Do not take my name in vain. Do not make it common. Set my name apart. So if we try to say, pick a Sabbath, any Sabbath, pick a day, any day, what are we saying essentially about the Lord's name? It's common. It's ordinary. It's just a regular name. Because according to the grammar of the Hebrew, you cannot in no way, shape, or form say a Sabbath of the Lord.
Unless it's NIV. And then it says a Sabbath.
It does say a Sabbath of the Lord. Well, if you look back to the Hebrew, the original language, it says the Sabbath of the Lord. Shabbat le'Adonai Elohecha. The Sabbath of the Lord, your God. That's what it says. So if it says a Sabbath, mark it out. Scratch it out. Yep. Scratch it. Oh, yeah. So does the New King James. So if yours says a Sabbath of the Lord, scratch it out, put the Sabbath of the Lord. Because that's what the original language says. And this is something else very interesting that just kind of came to me as I was studying and reading over the scriptures. If you look at the verb tenses, or if you look at, not the verbs, I'm sorry.